Thank you for joining us on this, our Church City podcast. Every single week, we have a brand new message that we hope will inspire you to live a victorious life in Christ. Enjoy the message.
How many know men are important? Hallelujah. Now, there are many great jobs that men can hold in this world, many great jobs. Men can be presidents and lead armies and lead nations, and men can be soldiers and warriors, no pun intended. Amen. Hallelujah. Men can be athletes. See how I did that? I put warriors in there. All right. Men can be athletes and, you know, thrill us on in the sports world. I was watching the World Cup yesterday, and anybody, you know, because basketball went off, so you got to do something, because baseball, just, you know, you just might as well come and have an all-night prayer meeting for the world. Baseball, amen. But the World Cup was on yesterday, and I was told, by the way, Church City, if you are watching the World Cup, that we are cheering for Nigeria. I was told that. I didn't get an option to choose. That's because Dayo in the back, who is from Nigeria, came and he said, this is who we are running with. I said, I accept. You know, I said, yesterday I had to text him and I said, hey, man, listen, you know, this Nigerian team ain't looking good right now. They got beaten yesterday, but they got a couple more games, I was told, to, you know, fix that up. Amen. But men can thrill us in the athletic world. Men can be great musicians. Amen. Men can be actors and lawyers and engineers. And over centuries, we've seen great kings and great inventors and that were men. And men can do many things. And included among all these great things that men can be fathers. And while each of those jobs that I've mentioned are very important and they're challenging, there's no greater job than the job, and no more challenging job than the job of a father. Amen? If we as a society don't see the importance of men, we're headed for disaster. Because if you were to do the research, right, we've got to learn how to get back to training our young men to be men of character, men that don't quit, men that learn how to make a commitment and keep it. Amen? But if we don't as a society recognize the importance of men and begin to pour back into men, we're headed for disaster, because there are incredible correlations between fatherlessness and a lot of the problems that we are facing in our societies. If you look at the research, it is incredible that you will find that there is a considerable amount of correlation between children who grow up to commit violent crimes and the absence of a father in the home. There's an incredible correlation between kids who grow up and they have behavioral problems. And I was a teacher for about 4 years, and it was incredible, because when you saw the kids who acted out in class, it didn't take long to figure out why this kid was the way it is. Any teacher will tell you there's a problem, and that relationship at home directly affects that child. There's a correlation between a prostitution and an absent father. If you take a trip to our prisons and just talk to the young men and ask them one question, where is your father? It will shock you that majority of the men in prison do not have a father, or never grew up with a father present in the home. The relationship between suicide, the relationship between children who fall victims of sexual abuse and child abuse, it all correlates to the fact one thing: a man is missing from the home. So men are important. You see, somebody said it earlier, God never meant for a child to be raised by one parent. His design was that both parents should raise that child. And because it is important, the role of a man, it is constantly being attacked. Today is Father's Day, and it's an interesting day, especially in the time that we live in with technology and the social media era. Because today is a day where people will express their love for their fathers, but when you go online in this social generation, there's another expression that you see taken over the internet. And that is, you will find the women who have been scarred by men and the children who have been scarred by a father, they kind of get on the internet today and on social media. Today is kind of like Bash Father's Day. And you see that resentment and that hurt played out. You see women and children who have never known their father. Now, don't get me wrong. I sit back and I say to myself, wait a minute. Are all the mothers good? You mean there are no mothers that cheat? You mean there are no mothers that walk out on their children? You mean that? And the answer to that is yes, there are women who cheat. Yes, there are women who are terrible. Yes, there are women who do half the things that we say men alone do. But you never see that played out and kind of spill out on the internet. For some reason, when a man is not present, a different level of bitterness creeps in to the child or the woman's life. And don't get me wrong, I want to apologize to any woman who might be here who's ever experienced the failure of a man or the quitting of a man, or if a man ever did you wrong, I want to apologize for that, because that's not supposed to happen. But you know what? We should be mad at systems, because here's the thing. We get mad when the men in our lives play out these roles. But society is so hypocritical because they constantly promote things that teaches men how to do everything we would not want our men to do. But we are never mad at that. We for example, and I know I talk about this a lot because, and sometimes I kind of move over it, but I think I ought to take my time when I speak about this. Hip-hop is very influential. Y'all hear what I'm saying? When Barack Obama ran for presidency, he ran with Jay-Z by his side. Y'all understand what I'm saying? This is a music that raises a generation. But this is a music that teaches young men misogyny. And that's a word, if you don't know what that means, to disrespect a woman, to bring a woman down to the lowest form. And the music that we listen to, that we turn up to, teaches young men that from beginning to ending of a song. And then we want to know why, when it's acted out, why are they like this? You see it in movies. You see it in pop culture. And we have no problems watching it until it is acted out in our personal life. We should be mad at society promoting these values. Y'all hear what I'm saying in this place? Something is wrong when you see what destroys a community be glorified by the same community. Y'all hearing what I'm saying in here? And it's time for people to say, no, this got to stop. And so, you know, for all the ladies who's ever been abused, ever been mistreated, that is not the way that God intended for a man to play his position. But I want you to know, the enemy would want to use that situation to cause women to become bitter. But God doesn't want you to be bitter. He wants you to be better. Amen in here. Amen in here. Listen to me. Nobody should ever be that strong enough that your life is stuck at something they did to you. Oh, gosh. Y'all hear what I'm saying in this place? We give too much power to some people in our lives. You understand? You allow people. And ladies came alive there. Soon as I got ready to beat up the men, y'all showed up. Y'all showed up there. Which indicates the problem we have. All of this is an indication of that. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, don't get me wrong. Nobody's that powerful enough that you should die there. And when I say that, the heart says, yes, forget them and move on. It's bigger than forgetting and moving on. Forgiveness has to actually occur for you to actually heal. When they walk in the room, they should not have that much power over you anymore. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But today is Father's Day. So I dare not want to beat up on the men today. I want it. One lady clapping. Fellas, make some noise for yourself. I want to encourage the fathers today. I want to encourage the good men who are trying their best to be the job of what the head of the Trinity is, God the Father. Ain't nobody coming close to him. But those that are, that's who we, his love, his character, his nature is what he requires us to be, and we're so far from that. Somebody says, a father never feels worthy of the worship he has seen in his child's eyes. Amen. He's never quite the hero his daughter thinks. I am Savannah. I'm probably not. He's never quite the man his son believes him to be. And this worries him sometimes. So he works hard to try to smooth out the rough places in the road for those who will follow him. Fathers are those men who give their daughters away to a man who is never going to be good enough so that she could have grandchildren that are going to be smarter than everybody else's. Father make bets with insurance company to see who will outlive each other. Only one day we lose, and all the money goes to what we have left behind. The actions and words that a father does and speaks to his children in privacy of his own home are never seen or heard. But they are seen and heard through the way his kids live. Do you follow what I'm saying? A father is a man who expects his son to be as good as he was meant to be. A job of a father is a challenging one. And maybe you have, you know, never understood this or heard this, and just maybe for the next 10, 15 minutes, I just want to talk to the men. Maybe you're a father in here like Adam. If you were here last week, we talked about the fact that Adam didn't show up on a job. He got the serpent talking to his wife, convincing of all sorts of things, and never showed up. Maybe you're a father like Adam, who, and you know, I laughed to myself this week because I said, God, why you didn't give the details of the conversation between the woman and the man? Maybe Adam just threw his hands up and be like, she talked too much. Just give me the fruit. Some of you men just held your head and then look at your wife. Just give me a thumbs up in the car, amen. I don't know what caused this man to not turn to his wife and say, no, we were given instructions not to eat this. Or, you know, here's the bigger thing. That's the husband part. The bigger thing is if you look at his father part, Adam was a father who had two sons that hated each other. One murdered the other. It's tough when you grow up and you got a father, children that don't like one another. Maybe you're a father like Abraham. You served God all your life. You gave God everything you got, waiting on his promises. And that time just keeps looking like it's going and going. When you were 20s, you lived for the Lord. You 30s, living for the Lord. The Lord got something for you. People called, prophesied over you. There's greatness in you. I see the best is yet to come. All kind of prophesy and prophesy. You took it all. You didn't care. You received it in the name of Jesus. Now you're pushing 60. You like, the next person that prophesied to me, I'm going to tell them something. I'm going to tell you something if you got a word. And then you're starting to feel like maybe God will never come through for me. Maybe I should take matters into my own hand. And that's what Abraham did. And as a result, never waited on Isaac and produced the Ishmael, not me. Maybe you're a father like Lot. Lot was a man, the Bible says, that God, his uncle was Abraham, and he gave him an option. He said, choose whichever land you want. And Lot did what anybody would do. The Bible says Lot looked up and saw a land that was flowing with milk and honey. He saw the economics in that society was great. He saw potential for himself, his family, his future, and he worked to build. And he said, Abraham, I'm ahead this way. And he went over there. And the Bible says that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And it was a place that was prospering economically. And many men in here, who wouldn't want that for their children? Nobody wants to move their children back. You know, there was a time in society where, like, you wanted hood credit. You know, you didn't want to move out the hood. Listen, man, if God bless me, I'll change. So many things will change. Hallelujah. The temptation to move the church into that neighborhood would be there strongly too. Amen. I'd be like, y'all could have Jamaica, Queens. I feel an anointing in Beverly Hills. But the truth is, nobody wants to. Men work hard. Maybe you're somebody who is trying to build financial stability for your family, put them in a great place. But what Lot didn't realize is that finances and worldly wealth does not equal moral stability. And he found a place that was prosperous economically, but morally bankrupt. And when you work so hard, but overlook the fact that you got to instill character, you want to give them money, you want to give them cars, but you don't give them character, then what happens to Lot will happen to you. His children, his own daughters, got him drunk and slept with him. Maybe your father, like Isaac, you got two kids. One just loves strange women. He loved the world. And the other one is the biggest hustler that ever existed on the planet. And you don't know what to do with this hustler. That hustler name was Jacob. Oh, what a father he was. I mean, he hustled, but every time he hustled, maybe your father like him, you out here on the grind, man. But every time you grind it out, you hit a roadblock. He worked so hard for a woman he loved. Listen, men don't even work 5 days for a woman nowadays. You understand? The Bible says when he saw the woman that he fell in love with, the man told him, you can have her, but you got to work 7 years for me. Some men in here, it give you a good week. If you don't come around in a week, he move up. This man worked only to find out, I mean, there must have been some good wine that night he drank on the wedding night. Because the Bible says that when he woke up the next morning, he realized it was her sister. And listen, the Bible ain't say she was ugly. He didn't say, and she was ugly. But it described her in ways that was not, you know what I'm saying. You know how drunk you got to be to not notice? And you know how many women are with a man who don't notice them? Maybe your father like that. Your mind is so far from, because she was a wife too. And then he had all these children and everything he built always fell apart. And you read it when Jacob got to the end of his life. Jacob said, all these things are against me. But it was his son Joseph who said, no, these things are not against me. He said, what you meant for evil, God is able to turn around for good. Maybe your father like Jesse, you don't even know the kids you got in your house. This man had a king, but the king he didn't invite to his own coronation. Oh gosh, don't you ever, ever look at any of your kids and think you know what God got for them. Don't you ever discount any of your children. And David was under his watch. Now, David was a great king. But maybe you're a father like David. David was the man. When David showed up, David was like 300. Stab you. David was on some inventing guns before there was guns. David took a slingshot and shot Goliath. Goliath got shot. That wasn't no ordinary rock, y'all. That thing must have flew at some power to knock a giant out. That's like me fighting Shaq. You understand? David did that. David was king. David did his exploits. David came back in the hood when he was serving Saul. They said Saul killed his thousands. Then the ladies ran out and said, but David, whoo, you killed David. David was a ladies' man. You know how they knew David was dead? Y'all want me to tell you how they figured David was dead? Did the Bible, y'all. David was sick. They didn't know what's going on with David. They said, all right, there's one way we're going to know if this man still has the energy to still be king. Sent a young lady in there. And when the young lady came back out and they said, what happened? He said, the king ain't did nothing to me. They said, the king dead, the king. We about to lose this king. That was David. Great leader, but as a father, he heard one of his own sons rape one of his own daughters and never did a thing about it. Got another son angry. And the problem that caused David to flee his kingdom was his own son that came after him. I could go on and on about fathers in the Bible. I could go on and on. Being male is a matter of biology, but being a father and a husband takes commitment. Did y'all hear what I say? Being a male is a matter of biology, and it is biology. It's not a matter of choice. Because if that's the case, I choose to be a millionaire today. You know, if you were here last week, I told you when the girl from NAACP said she's not white, she's black. They said, no, it don't work for race. It only works for gender. You can't choose your race. But I feel black. I feel white. No. Biology states. Hypocritical society. Being male is a matter of biology, but being a father and a husband takes commitment. It takes effort. Commitment. Somebody say that word with me. Commitment ain't got nothing to do with how you feel. How many of you got to go to work tomorrow? Wow, there's a lot of jobless people in here. All right, we switch the sermon. Today we're going to pray that God supply your needs. Come on, how many of you in here got to go to work tomorrow? Come on. How many of you feel like it? Every hand went down. Now let me tell you this. But how many of you gonna go anyway? You committed. You committed because if you don't go, something gonna happen. You gonna suffer a consequence if you break the commitment. What makes you think if you get married and have children and break that commitment, there aren't consequences coming? They are. Being a husband and a father takes the help of the Holy Spirit. Many men are dying and giving up. Many men are confused, and many men are going through just emotions. Many men are good actors. You won't even know that many men, like my fish story last week. How many of you here heard the fish story? I heard a preacher tell the story, and I had my own version of it. When I was young, I tried to change the fish tank water, do my family a favor. It was my brother's fish tank, right? It was yours, right? Hey, man, you didn't do a good job, man. You know, I was trying to help him. You know, I was a good little brother. And I changed the fish tank, took the fish out, put them back in, and then they started showing me all these crazy signals. They started twitching. I'm like, wow. Before KB sang Sideways, they were sideways. And then they just did a full circle upside down. Floated on the top. I said, wow, these fish could swim and float. They were dead. They were dead because I put hot water back in the tank because I thought they wanted to be warm. I was a child. I didn't know better. I thought if, you know, when I take a shower, I don't want cold. I want warm water. So I figured the fish wanted warm water. And they all died. And what was stupid of me was they were showing me signs that they were dying, and I didn't take heed to the signs. There are many men that are dying. Last week when we began to preach, several women shout out, men don't talk. The problem with men is men don't talk. Men talk. Y'all just don't listen. The problem with society is women think they know men, and all of them learn about men from other women. Oprah teach you all about us? She ain't never been married. All my single ladies, you want to be like her until she puts out lemonade and tell you all the issues. Maybe you should hear a man talk about a man and you'd understand. Let me tell you something why men shut down in the house. And men don't even know this is why. They never sat down and said, yo, why don't I? We just get to that place where it's like, yo, man, what's going on? What y'all need? Let me tell you why. If you turn with me to the book of Proverbs, I haven't given you one scripture yet. Look at what the Bible says in Proverbs 31:10. You ain't think on Father's Day I'd go to Proverbs 31:10. The virtuous woman. I want to show you something in here. A wife of noble character who can find she is worth far more than rubies. Look at verse 11 very carefully, ladies. This woman, her husband has full confidence in her. I want you to put it in the King James Version. I like the way it says it poetically. He has full confidence in her. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. A good woman, the Bible is saying, a man feels safe with. So here's what happens to men. Men talk, but they don't even know they're kind of testing you a little bit. Men starts to talk and maybe reveal secrets. And the way you react will determine how much he starts to tell. You see how the men got alive there? If the men realize that if I show you who I really am, and you begin to, then he knows if I want to be with you, I can't really show you. And so he shuts down. Men, not just to me negatively. Men have things in their life they go through. You see that video they showed about you got this, you got this? None of the men were crying. All the ladies were hugging and crying and being emotional, and the man was strong in the back. You got this? I'm not that man. I'm on some, when my kids go away, I'm on some, I'm going to miss you too. I don't got this. Come on. So men grow up with secrets too. It's not only women that get abused. Men get abused. It's not only women that suffer things in this world. Men suffer things. And so when a man comes around a woman and he begins to talk and that woman, then a man hears, comes to church and hear Pastor Rich preach, take the leadership in your house. Lead your family. He go home and he try that. Then he realized, Pastor, you don't understand. And so when he tries to take leadership and say, this is what I ought to do, and you go off on him, he ain't talking no more because he already know. My wife would tell you, I walk around the house, certain times I say certain things, and as soon as I say, all right, I'm done. Don't worry about it. No. What you gonna say? No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm gone. Now, this woman is impossible to be. The Proverbs 31 woman is impossible without the help of the Holy Spirit. But when a man can safely trust his woman, he become a different man. Because that woman is there to build him, not to put him down. I remember when we first got married, man, our marriage was interesting. Thank God for Jesus, right, Sherry? When we got married, I remember I used to get a lot of parking tickets. I had the anointing of getting a parking ticket. I mean, I don't understand what was happening to me. I thought I parked good. I thought everything was, and I just kept coming home. Now, you know, after one ticket, it's like, all right, $65, all right. But then when you got like four, that's like $300-$400. So Sister Sherry was, you know, first she put up with it, but then after a while, she was like, it went from okay to what is wrong with you? Now, I wasn't going out there and saying, where can I park to show these police I'm rebelling? I wasn't doing that. And this is a good example of a man. You're not intentionally trying to mess up. And it went from okay to what's wrong with you. And she flipped out on me one night. I found myself, it's not me. But life changed. And the Lord delivered me from that anointing. But there was a transference of spirit. And somebody else begun to bring tickets in the house. But I was not allowed to be harsh. Amen. Amen. When a woman gets mad, she can be mad for 6 days and 4 years. And when she's ready for you, but let a woman do something to a man, you're just going to be mad. They come and hug you. You're not going to, give me a hug. I know I did wrong. Just hug me. No! I want to toss you from a roof right. Pray for me. Pray for me. We can't get mad. We can't. And so men, you see, a marriage, the Bible is supposed to work together. Marriage takes maturity to work because you're dealing with two people who are broken, who are inflicted by a fallen world. If you think you get married to Jesus, there are many things in that person that at some point they might or might not want to reveal to you depending on if they can trust you. And some men are just dead in the house because they don't know where to go with it. Fish in water, sideways dying. I want to say this. Oh, man, I got so much more I want to say. I won't be able to get to all of it. The culture shapes our mind. Y'all enjoying this? Y'all bored? The culture shapes our mind. And what I mean by that is the culture teaches us a certain way. We become used to it, and the Bible goes directly against it, and it's hard to accept what the Bible says. Do you follow what I'm saying? A good example of that would be, for example, the culture looks at God now and says, we don't want to serve that God, because in Colossians, the Bible says, all things were made by him and for him. So I've heard people, the Bible says that God is a jealous God. And I've heard people in the world say, why would I serve that type of God? He sounds like an egotistical God who wants all the glory for himself. So the world spins it in a way where if you're thinking like the world, you'll say, yeah, why would I want to serve a God who just wants all glory for him? But if you're a Christian, you don't have a problem with a God who says, I want all glory for me. Now watch the tension in the room. Because even when they say that, the culture influences you so much that you think God is like a man who's just a glory hog. And if he just, but God gets all glory because the Bible says before all things were made for him, you got to understand that all things were made by him. In other words, all things don't have a say. But the fact that he says, I allow you to exist and I want you to be great. Because when you're great, it gives glory back to me. See, when my son is great, I walk around proud, even though I ain't did a thing. My son up there dancing at shows and stuff. Like 2 weeks ago, what was it? We was in Far Rockaway. He got up and danced, and he killed it so bad. And I was supposed to go right back on. They were waiting for me to get on the mic. I just ran and found him. You remember this? And I hugged him. I said, so proud of you, man. I'm all emotional. He like, all right. I felt like I did that. Even though I can't dance, I just pull up my pants and do the rock away. You understand? That's what I do. But because he is an extension of me, glory, I walk around like, ha, my son. And so when you see God from that perspective, you don't have a problem. Now, why am I saying that? Because when it comes to women, and I want to say two things to women and children. When it comes to the world, the culture tells women, be independent. You don't need a man. Men are this. Men are dogs. What else are we? We're dogs, we're trash, we cheaters, all men cheat. One time I was standing with my wife and a woman told my wife while I was with her, you know all men are cheaters, right? And this is a Christian woman. And I looked at her and I punched her. I prayed for her. So this is a normal thing. So women are taught, you don't need a man. Just live without a man. Just go on with him. And then you read a scripture that says in the book of Ephesians, wives, submit yourselves to your husband. You're like, what? I want the original Greek. All of a sudden, you who've never read the Bible or studied, when it comes to that, I want the original language. What? Why is this book in the Bible? Let's study that. Well, he doesn't really mean submit in the word submit. He means submit. But the culture makes you think that's a bad thing. Because the culture presents these bad homes and bad abusive men and say, see, why would you submit to that? God never asked you to submit to that. He said submit to a husband. Before you pick a husband, know what a husband's supposed to be. Before you submit to something, make sure it's something you want to submit to. You follow what I'm saying? And watch this. There is no scripture that tells women from Genesis to Revelation, wives, love your husbands. Some of you like, there isn't? I don't have to love this bum. No, it implies it many places, but it says submit. Why? Because the Bible knows this, that women want to be loved. So the Bible tells the men love women like Christ loved the church. Make her feel secure. Go all out for her. Buy, bro, do whatever. Do. Go. Christ died for the church. Die for your woman. Women love that. Men, we don't care how much you hug us. We want respect. Don't go ask no other man for no advice and I'm here. Who's he? Get off the phone with that friend. I'm your... Why, when we say the same thing that another woman said, you listen to her over, you don't understand that the one thing a man want in his house is respect. Y'all hear what I'm saying in this place? You want to be a good wife? Respect your husband. Well, what does that mean? He don't know everything. Listen, I know I'm a fool. My wife know my gun is ready to be shot off at any minute, then I'll ask questions later. She knows I'm not a person of reason. But she is smart. She doesn't come to me and be like, you stupid fool. Look what you did again. Look where you got. You know what she comes and says? Babe, maybe we can handle it. See, a wise woman builds a house. A foolish woman rips it down. It doesn't mean she can't get a point across, but she knows how to without disrespecting me. I'm sorry. I won't come home. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, to the children, I want to say this. I'm almost done. Listen to me, children. It is a wise father who knows his child. But it is a very wise child who takes time to know his father. By the time a man realizes that maybe his father was right, he usually has a son who thinks he's wrong. I ain't wrong, bro. Proverbs 15:20, put it up there. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. A wise son. Listen to me, children. There ain't nobody else who's going to die for you like your parents. All them people you will meet in life, that's my day one. That's my son. They ain't gonna be there for you like mommy and daddy. Don't hide nothing from them. Talk to your parents. get wisdom from them. Marquise is like, no. Marquise looking at me with side eyes. Marquise, what happened, man? One time he told me he won't be a pastor. What happened, man? All right, never mind. That's another conversation. Stay focused. Love your parents. Listen to them. Do you follow that? Men, I want to leave you with this. My time is up. I got more I wanted to say there, but download the podcast. I'll probably have time in 11, so if you want the rest of the message, you could download it when it comes out. If you would put up the book of Psalms for me, chapter 78, verse number 5. Open up that bag for me. Open up that bag for me, Sherry. And grab me that clothes in there. Grab me the clothes. I'm getting ready to close, y'all. I kept this in my closet for many years. This is what I wore to prom. What I wore to prom. Bring me one of them red chairs. Bring me one of them red chairs. Bring me two of them. Bring me two of them. Bring me two of them. Come on, Kiwan. Kiki, what's the thing? Kiwan, Kino? You got to come to church to get these jokes. If you don't get these jokes. That was my father's outfit last night. I put it on. Listen to what the Bible says. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors. Put it in the ancestors. I want you to get the full meaning. Specifically, not just our ancestors. Put it in the King James Version. Which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Go on. Verse 6. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Go on, verse 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Men, man, I got so many memories of my father, man. Last night I put on that outfit and I realized we were just as overweight at the same age. I said, wow, this man's outfit fit me at this age. When I was young, it never fit. He died when he was 47 years old. I was about maybe 20, 19 at the time. And I didn't keep anything from him, no houses, no cars, no estates. But I grabbed an outfit, just something to remember him by. And then something dawned on me that he lives inside of me. Because I only had him for about 19 years old. Man, this man, I was the kid that gave him the hardest time. He would come downstairs, and if something's going on, the first thing he'd call is my name. Richard what? I'm like, well, I got to be me, though. You got other kids. And I rebelled just about everything that he would teach us. But I didn't realize that he was doing this. And he's gone, and I got his clothes, and I can't sell that for more than $2 if I could get that much. But it's not what he wore or what he left behind that impacted me. It's what he taught me. He taught me the word of God. And even though he died, and I need him now, and I say that a lot, I need him, I realize that I don't need him. He already gave me everything I need. He pointed me to a much better father. Teach it to your children so that they may know the works of God and that they may keep his commandments. Men, take up the challenge. You're gonna make mistakes. You're gonna mess up. But that's your children. Father them till the day you leave the earth. Don't let nobody stop you from being. Don't let a system. Don't let nobody stop you from being a father to your children. Let's pray. Stand all the men in this church. I just want to pray with you. I just want to pray with you, man. I just want to pray with you. If your wife is next to you, wife, lay your hands on your husband. Come, Sherry, lay your hand on. Come on, come on. Lay your hands on your husband.
We hope that you enjoy this message. If so, do us a favor. Like, share, rate, and subscribe to this podcast. Thanks again for joining us here.